Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. It's a cool compared to cold sunny day here in New York City, meaning it's more than tolerable to go outside today, but I am inside to do the show. What a show we have. Well, you know me, as a chocoholic, I was watching the show Shark Tank, and there was a company called Chocomize on Shark Tank. Yes, you could create your own chocolate bar. The company's in New York, Long Island City in New York, and Queens, and I'm going to have both the owner and co-owner on the show to talk about being on Shark Tank, as well as what kind of chocolate bars that you can create. And then after that, we're going to be talking shrimp. Yes. What's in the frozen shrimp that we're eating? Are there additives? Here's a company called Sea Touch Seafood that doesn't have it, any additives or preservatives in their frozen shrimp. So we'll be talking to the owner, Larry Dimino, we are now going to go on to, let's see. Okay, guys, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. So who are
you? Joey, here too.
Fabian.
Let's see.
I'm here. Where's the other
Joey?
One? What?
I got you. Hi, this is Joe.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
We're both here. Okay, great. We're in different phones.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to play my chocolate commercial, but I won't now. Fairy Tale Brownies is my chocolate commercial that I live off of. But anyway, so. Let's first get to this whole thing about being on Shark Tank. How did you get to be on Shark Tank? What's the?
I guess what happened was about a year and a half ago, Shark Tank reached out to us because they thought that we would be a good fit for the show, and so we ended up applying. But it was a little late in the season, and so kind of they loved us, but they basically said, you know, we have a lot of food products this year, but we'll put you in for next year. So then we reapplied this year, and you know, it was a long process where we had to fill out a lot of paperwork, and then we had to make a video and all sorts of things, and then they invited us to come out to LA. So then even after you go out to LA, though, there's no guarantee that the show will actually air, but luckily they aired our segment, so we were really, really fortunate.
Okay, so in other words, it's not like you going on, I mean, I don't know if they do this all the time, but in other words, in your case, they reached out to you as opposed to, I don't know what people like, you know, have to send in, please, you know, get me on Shark Tank as a, you know.
A lot of people do that, though. Yeah, the thing is, I guess the show actually reaches out to companies they think would make a good fit, and they actually recruit, but a lot of people just will apply that don't get recruited. I was talking to another guy at the Shark Tank blog, and he was saying, yeah, like half the company, you know, get recruited, and a lot of them that get on the show don't, though. They just apply.
Right. So what was it So, and then what was then the procedure? So now it did, at some point, you're now like, you know you're going to go on, or you're not sure, or what the...
Well, the thing is, there's never any guarantee you're going to go on throughout the entire process. They say, like, at any point, like, there's no guarantee you're going to go on. Even after we flew out there, tape the segment and everything, they still, like, only hear, like, a certain percentage of the segment. So if they don't like the segment, they just may not hear it.
Okay.
So you really don't know. They didn't let us know until 2 weeks before the show was going to air that we actually were going to air. And even when that happened, they also say if something happens, if there's some sort of major event where the news stations need the news for, you know, a terrorist attack or whatever,
actually
there's a chance that the show still may not air. So until you actually see yourself on the TV, they basically say don't count, you know. It's not guaranteed until that. So the whole time we're crossing our fingers.
Okay. Well, that's really great. Okay, so now you get to it. Now, Joey, you were by yourself, right? I remember?
Yes, I went on to represent the company for me and Fabian.
Okay. So just kind of tell me now you get to the point where, okay, so not necessarily knowing you're going to be aired, but now like you're invited into the room. You walk into the room to face it. What was that like to face?
It was actually pretty nerve-wracking, especially because they put a lot of makeup on you, and I really had never been on TV before, so I didn't realize how much went into it. But they do a lot of, like, hair work and makeup work, and they're trying to do it to you again right before you walk on. And, you know, you had to, like, walk on, and then you had to pause for a minute so they could get all the cameras right. And so you're just, like, staring at the sharks, like, and they're just staring at you. And it's really weird because, you know, obviously – you're looking at the set, and I've seen the set so many times because I'd watched the show, and I'm like looking at myself, like, as if I'm watching myself on TV, and I'm like, wow, this is freaky, you know? So it was definitely fun. It was a fun experience, though. I mean, it was a lot of fun, even though it was a little bit nerve-wracking as well, because obviously no matter who you are, what your company is, I mean, they want to get a good deal, so they're going to beat you up, and, you know, you've got to be prepared to defend yourself and defend the company, so...
So now, actually, you were, I guess, lucky enough that you're not, like, the set is already there, your set. Like, when you walked in, you didn't have to drag in a bunch of stuff.
No, they do everything. There's, like, a dress rehearsal where you have to dress up, and they do a complete dress rehearsal, and you have to kind of walk on, and then they have, like, someone else, yeah, not the Sharks, but someone else would kind of ask you a couple questions, and they have a whole setup in the back, so, and you do your pitch, so everything's kind of... You know, the pitch and the whole background setup are all done. They do all that for you. So.
Oh, good. So okay. So now, you know, knowing that, I mean, now it was aired. Okay, all done, and you didn't. You know, nobody is giving you money. So now the question is, look at all the publicity that you got.
Exactly. I mean, I think a lot of it is. You know, it would have been great to get investment, but at the same time, I mean. Just getting the publicity alone is just as beneficial. So we're really excited about that, you know, as well. I mean, you know, we've gotten a lot of orders and a lot of people now that know we exist, and that's a big thing going forward for us, like over the next year. So yeah, I mean, it worked out fantastic. I mean, you know, hopefully we'll, like I said on the show, I don't know if they showed this part, but yeah, we'll continue to grow and get big. And then she's in the woman, even the producer, and said, you know, follow up with me in 6 months or a year and let me know how you're doing. So who knows? Maybe we'll be on again at some point in one of their little mini segments where they do an update on the companies and stuff like that. So.
Right. Because I noticed that you update whether you get it or not get it.
Maybe you want to say something?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that. I mean, obviously, before you go into the show, you kind of strategize and try to figure out, you know, who you would like to have a deal with and under which circumstances you would even make a deal and stuff. So we had a pretty good strategy going into the whole show in terms of, like, what we want to do. So it's not that we kind of, like, we were surprised by the outcome. And, you know, we kind of anticipated that in a way, that this is what was going to happen. You know, we still decided that it was going to be worthwhile for us. So. Long story short, yeah, I guess we kind of got what we expected to get, and we're not disappointed at all to have not gotten a deal. And, you know, there are a lot of other people that are interested in this space, and, you know, they bring a lot of value to the table, too. So there are other people out there from the Sharks, a lot of Sharks in the sea.
Okay. Oh, so you've had people calling saying, I want to be a part of your business.
Yeah. I mean, even before the show, like, we have invested in the company. And, you know, we continue to talk to people. And obviously now there's a high interest in, you know, people that call us and try to come on board and they like this idea. So we're not disappointed that, you know, it didn't work with those five particular investors.
Oh, good. All right. No, well, not everybody saw you on Shark Tank. So let's talk about what is it you do?
So, what we do is we make customized chocolate bars, basically, and there's up to, like, 100 different toppings you can choose to put on the bars. We're also expanding and even offering additional products. We have, like, a chocolate heart that's, like, really unique now as well that we just added. So, and we also do corporate orders where corporate companies can put their logo on the chocolate bar. We have wedding customers where they put, like, special message in the back of the bar. And so there's all sorts of things we do. We're starting to sell to retail now as well. And basically, we're just basically a place where you can go to customize your chocolate bar so you can have it exactly the way you want it.
Okay, so let's get it in. Let's go to, like, what's the procedure? So, you know, like, okay, I want to get a chocolate bar. What do I do? I mean, I'm not calling you on the phone, right? Am I calling you on the phone?
Go on the website.
Okay. And so what's the procedure?
So you go on the website, chocolatemines.com, and then the first step would be for you to choose your chocolate shape. So it can either be a chocolate bar or it can be a chocolate heart if it's for someone, you know, more special. So then once you pick the shape, you get to choose your chocolate base, which is either going to be Belgian dark, milk, or white chocolate. And after you choose your chocolate base, you can pick up to 5 ingredients from over 100. So we have different categories like nuts, fruits, candy, herbs and spices, decorations, and others. And you can choose your favorite 5 toppings, add them to your chocolate bar or your chocolate heart, and then we will make the bars for you, ship them out within usually 2 to 3 business days. And, yeah, you'll have them within a week. And, yeah, you'll have a chocolate bar that basically you wouldn't find anywhere else. It's very unique and very a personal gift.
Now, with this, what size, like how many ounces is the bar itself?
They're 3.5 ounces. So they're basically twice as heavy as the Hershey bar. And that's before we add the ingredients. So if you load it up with a couple of nuts and fruits, most bars, they're easily over 4 ounces. So you get a lot of value for money.
Okay, so how many, like, what is the most amount of things that people have put in one? Have you ever had
That's
somebody...
That's a good question. I mean, it really depends on who you talk to. A lot of people, they think it's completely crazy. We put bacon in chocolate, but, you know, it's actually our most popular ingredient. So most people think it's the most normal thing in the world. Other people think it's completely weird. I think what's weird is when people combine all kinds of different flavors in one bar. So, for example, a chocolate bar with bacon and Pop Rocks and Skittles and peanut butter and coffee. Like,
oh,
everything
God.
In one bar, that's a little bit too much for my own personal taste. But other people seem to like it, so that's kind of what we offer them here, you know. Chocolate bars, they wouldn't find in the supermarket.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine all that stuff in one bar. So once they do that, they customize it. Now, you're not are you, as far as the wrapper itself, how is it? It just has the logo on it. I mean, you're not, unless you're doing it for, you know what I forgot to do? I got to introduce the two of you. Introduce yourselves, by the way, to my audience.
My name is Fabian Kempfer. I'm the founder of the company and the CEO.
Okay.
My name is Joe Dauenhauer, and I am the CFO of the company.
Okay. That'll help.
Yeah.
Not that I don't have it written down, but it's just, you know, I realize I'm on the radio. So, okay, so, I was getting back to, in terms of the wrapper, what am I getting? It just says basically chocolate eyes on it. In other words, I won't know, will I know what's inside before I open it?
Yeah, so our chocolate boxes are very different in the way that they have a big opening, a big window in the front. So when you open the box, you'll see the chocolate bar right away, and it'll be smiling at you, basically. So you see the ingredients on the bar. You kind of, we have these special messages like, I love you, thank you, Merry Christmas, and that's what you're going to see right away. And then, you know, the bars themselves are wrapped in a cellophane bag, so they're protected and everything, but you can still see them. It's like a clear bag.
Right. Can the people, like, put their own message?
Right now, what we offer is to name your bars, and that name will show up on the label that goes on the packaging of each bar, so along with the nutrition facts, basically. So you can say, you know, mom's favorite chocolate bar, and that will show up on the back of the packaging. And next year, we're going to launch something where people can actually, like, upload their own names or pictures or whatever they like and actually have that printed on the chocolate itself.
Right now, we only do that for bulk orders, like over 50 bars.
Right.
But we're going to be incorporating it hopefully next year into, you know, we can order just less and still get that same feature. So.
Yeah.
So that was like you did that specifically for the people at Shark Tank, I think I remember.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I actually said on the show that, you know, we only do this type of customization for 50 bars, minimum of 50
right.
bars. I said that, but they didn't show that on the show. I was edited out. A lot of the stuff was edited out, but yeah, I had mentioned that. Yeah.
Because I think you brought one in. There was one guy that you did it for one of them that it had
mm-hmm.
his picture.
Yeah, actually, all of them. We actually made bars with all the pictures.
Each
shark had an individual bar with their picture. And it was so funny because Barbara actually got a bar, and she was like, oh, is this the most expensive bar? And I was like, actually, it's not the most expensive, but it's what we thought you would like because we kind of got a couple candies we thought they would like. So then she says, oh, do you mind if I try, like, a dark bar instead of a milk? So at that point, I looked up at my, I looked up my display, and I only had a dark bar that had Mr. Wonderful's face on it. So I was like, do you want to eat Mr. Wonderful? And it's so funny because then, like, Mark Cuban's like, she eats Mr. Wonderful every day. It was really funny. I really thought they were gonna show that part of it, but they ended up not showing it. But yeah, basically, we made bars especially for them that were tailored to them.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. That's really cool. I mean, because people. Let me also ask you about the as a true chocoholic. what bulk chocolate are you using? I mean, I don't know that everybody who listens to this will know what I'm talking about, but I'm just curious.
What kind of chocolate were you using?
Yeah, what bulk chocolate? In other words, are you using...
Belgian, it's Belgian chocolate.
Yeah, we get the chocolate imported from Belgium. It's like the finest Belgian chocolate, and we melt it down here in our production facility, in our chocolate tempering machines, and then everything is like handmade. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just curious as which one of them.
Oh, it's like, it's called Calibo.
Oh, okay. No, that's all you have to say. Yeah, that's all you have to say is Calibo. And I know what that is.
Most people don't
getting,
know exactly like a very
and,
big company,
and you're
yeah.
getting, I guess, I'm assuming you're getting a high grade of Calibo versus, because Calibo now is like readily available. You go into stores and get it in like chunks to make, you know, your own chocolate with. But
exactly.
From what I got, you're not necessarily getting the same quality when you go into the stores and purchase that?
I mean, they have all kinds of different chocolates available. They have chocolate that is made in America and they sell it like at a cheaper price. They have the authentic Belgian chocolate. They have Swiss chocolate. They have different grades of cocoa content. They have organic and fair trade. They have so many different options. We didn't like, you know, try to save money on the quality of the chocolate, not at all.
Okay. No, at least I know when you say Calibo, I know, like, what that is. But I don't know if you guys have ever been to the chocolate show?
No, I haven't.
In New York?
The chocolate show?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't gone in a couple of years because it's, like, it's early in the morning and I'm going, I can't do this. I just can't. I just can't do this and go, you know. But what I try to do is a lot of times I look at the list and say, oh, here's a new one. You know, let me get in touch or something like that. Because one of the things I had noticed in more recent years is you're getting companies from where the origin of the chocolate is, bringing in the chocolate. You know, which I thought was,
another place that's good to see a lot of products is the Fancy Food Show as well. That's like a big one as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like new products and stuff like that. It's interesting.
So, and it just to kind of get a sense, like, in terms of like people who knew about you before and now, I mean, how much of a like volume of sales went up, and it did go like in a short period of time because you were on Shark Tank, or you're starting to see it, or what's happening with that kind of a thing?
No, I mean, there was like a very immediate reaction. The night that we were on the Shark Tank, we had over 15,000 people on the website at the same time.
Oh, my God.
So that's something that's like, it's a lot. And we knew that this was going to happen, so there were like weeks and months of preparation that kind of went into this. So we were actually like really by the fact that so many people then actually ended up going on the website and checking it out and everything. So that was great. And then, yeah, of course, as a result of that, there were like hundreds and thousands of orders coming in the days after the episode aired, and a lot of people heard about us, and we get a lot of corporate orders. So, I mean, it's definitely like the busiest time we've ever experienced here since we started the business. So that's great.
Well,
and then long term,
yeah,
we're gonna have to check like with the, you know, obviously with the holidays, it's always a special season in general. People go crazy for chocolate, and because it's a very personal gift with a lot of thought that goes into it, you know, chocolate is just, or our chocolate is like very popular around the holidays. So we always see the big spikes, but this spike has been particularly large because of the feature, and we'll see like what kind of long term effect it's going to have on the business. But so far, it's looking very, very good.
Now, is there a minimum amount of bars that people need to order, by the way?
No, you can order as little as one bar or one heart. In the summer, we have a minimum order quantity of two, just to make it a little bit more economic with shipping, with ice packs and stuff. So in the winter, you can order as little as one bar. You just benefit from ordering more bars due to the way the shipping is set up. So you pay a flat rate of $5 per order for shipping. And obviously, if you only want to have one bar shipped, you know, it kind of almost doubles the price of the chocolate.
Right.
But, you know, if you want to have five or six bars, then you're already going to be, like, you know, qualified for free shipping over $40. So we're very, like, very much into subsidizing the shipping cost and keeping it as low as possible.
Now, have you noticed, like, in terms of who's gotten in touch, anybody, like, local? More local that got in touch, or mostly people from, you know, other parts of the states, and even anybody from other countries get in touch?
Yeah, there were a lot of people from Europe that kind of saw the show. Some were online apparently, and yeah, kind of from all over the place. But in terms of like the U.S., it was also all over the states. I mean, most people are actually calling from California, which kind of makes sense because that's where most people live. So California, New York, Texas, it's pretty much spread out.
Yeah.
It was like a national feature, you know, it's not just people from New York that are interested in it. But,
and
of course, the local people that we've worked with over the past couple of months and years, you know, suddenly they see us on TV and they are the ones that are more proud because they kind of know us. So, yeah.
So, and so it's not, in other words, you can't go to where your company is and say, you know, this is what I want. It's not open to do that, is it?
In terms of what? I'm sorry.
In other words, as just somebody, you know, hearing about this, can I, like, you know, get into my car and drive over, you know, as a local?
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, unfortunately, we don't allow visitors right now. I mean, it's more like a factory kind of environment.
Okay.
So we basically, just ship the orders out to people individually so that we don't have to schedule, like, different pickup times and the shipping team doesn't get confused.
Okay, so it's all online.
Maybe down the line, but, like, the idea was not to kind of set up a retail store. Maybe that's something we can do down the road. For now, we're like an online company, and what we're trying to do is just getting into a lot more supermarkets than we're currently in, so that people, if they're craving a chocolate-mized bar, they can just go to the supermarket and buy it right there.
Oh, okay. So, but if they're going into the supermarket, in other words, there'll just be a variety to choose from. You're not creating anything.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have like a line of.
Whole create your own experience is going to get lost, but you know, it also has benefits since we can actually allow people to get the chocolate bar right there when they want it, as opposed to they need to wait for a couple of days for us to make it.
So we have like a line of different chocolate bars that we sell in the retail stores. Like we have an I Love You bar and Happy Birthday bar, like the things that don't really exist. Like most of the bars are pretty boring, and then you go in the grocery store, ours are like unique because they're more visual and they have a message on them. So they kind of, you know, they're pretty unique, and people like to buy them over other chocolate bars.
So is there like any particular place? I will know if you say a place. Is there any stores here in New York City that I could?
Yeah, there's a very fancy chocolate store called Two Beans, and it's very close to Grand Central, and they have a pretty large variety of chocolate bars they sell there. Mm-hmm.
Are you looking to get Fairway Market to get it?
Yeah, we're talking with a couple of distributors right now that they in turn distribute our product to different supermarkets. So Fairway is definitely one of the supermarkets we're interested in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I have this reputation of when I'm passionate for something of getting it into Fairway. I found this ice cream that I like really, really a lot, and I saw it at Stop and Shop, and I had decided it was too high-end. And so I said, this needs to be in Fairway. And it took me about a year. Now all the Fairway markets have the ice cream.
Oh wow! Yeah, feel free to pitch us the Fairway.
And so I'm a chocoholic. And what happens? I haven't done a piece because I know there's a whole aisle in the Fairway. This thing like, are you a chocoholic? And there's a whole bunch of, you know, chocolate bars. Plus, they have another section, I guess, for when you're buying the chocolate to make, you know, for baking or to make chocolates or stuff like that. So I haven't, like, gone, you know, really looked at all the bars that are in that aisle, the chocoholic aisle. But that's a possibility. What I'm going
to
do
free,
is...
feel free to recruit us and push us in any place you want. That'd be fantastic.
Well, what I'm going to do is, like, later, after the show, I have one other guest, and then after the show, I'm going to get in touch with you guys and... I'm gonna create a bunch of chocolate bars for you to send me, and then when I get them, I'm gonna take a picture of all of them and blog it all, and put it up on my blog, and then after that, I'll get the article into the newspaper.
Cool, that'd be fantastic.
So
yeah, thanks a lot for your help. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is. I thought it was really cool. Now for me. I'm one to, like, don't put anything in my chocolate bar. But there's certain things that, I love nibs, chocolate nibs in my chocolate bar. That
okay.
I've learned.
You
know,
there
so
you
that's
go.
Stuff, yeah. So there's certain things for me that, okay, I'm not big on nuts because, I know, I'm the one, probably the one person in the million who doesn't like salt in my chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I also do not like salt either, yeah.
You know, this is whole big thing there with this salt and caramel things, and it's like you're adding sugar and salt to something. That's basically what you're doing. You know, and you're killing what I'm trying to, you know, to enjoy. But
yeah, it's pretty amazing the different taste buds that people have. I mean, everyone's got a different palate, you know, so it's it's pretty interesting. That's why it's we offer like a large variety. So
okay, all right. So I'll give you a call later, and we'll set this up and figure out the things I'm going to, you know, create to do this. This will be a hoot. And I appreciate your. I guess Joey, you had to schlep over there just to so I can be on. Today?
Oh, yep. Yeah, no, it was great talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and stuff. We appreciate it.
Sure. Okay, so I'll give you a call later then.
Sounds great. Thank
all
you.
Right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now in the mood for chocolate. Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, what can I do? I just might have some chocolate ice cream, maybe, in the refrigerator. But I realize if that isn't enough chocolate, yeah, I have to, the old sponsor thing. What could I do? Here we go. All right.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. Yeah, well, I'm not going to get my ice cream now. I'll wait till the show is over. And, wait a minute, who's coming into the room? Oh no, here they come. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yes, that's Esther and Eunice. They also want some chocolate, and I'm getting a flashback of how I got this, how I got the clucking noises. I don't remember. I was on a press trip, and there was this place, and they had these chickens. And I went over with my, with my camera or whatever, and I recorded the chickens. And they really weren't happy about my coming over and doing that. But they, what the hey, you know? I didn't pick them up, as I like to do, picking up pets all the time and animals. And, yeah, I was good. I was really good. So, let's see what, got a busy day. Yeah, because one of the things I'm also going to be doing, interesting, coming up Christmas, Italian Christmas tradition is Feast of Seven Fishes. And it had occurred to me, what if somebody is allergic to shellfish? Can you come up with at least, seven dishes that would be satisfactory without having any of the allergens? So that's one of the things that I will be definitely writing about. Yeah, a lot of local things that I'll be going into. And we have, the Boston Pops is going to be here at the Kupferberg Center at Queens College. Well, we've got Valerie Simpson coming up as well. And, a bunch of stuff. So if you go to I'm writing now also for the Times Ledger. So if you go to timesledger.com and put my name in there, you can see articles that have already been in there. And you could also follow me on the Queens Times as well, with queenstimes.com. And I usually have one or two articles in there each week. Monthly, I have an article that goes into Empty Closet in upstate New York, and an article each month goes into La Voz Latina in Pennsylvania. It's printed, the newspaper, it's printed in Spanish. If you go online to look at it, you could see it in English or in Spanish. Thank goodness. And depending upon if I have something really interesting enough, an Italian paper, Giornale Italo Americano. That's that. And eventually it all goes to USA Travel Magazine as well, which is it's online, and I think it's some in print as well. So what I'm doing is, let's see, let me just look at the, I'm waiting for Larry Dimino, the owner of Seeds Touch Seafood, to call in. And while I'm waiting, what can we play here? Okay, how about by the way, this coming weekend, I might be also seeing Jay and the Americans. Jay and the Americans. Gosh. It's like all this nostalgia. Okay. Because I happen to absolutely adore Josh Groban. Well, let's play Josh Groban, not as much played. This is Love Only Knows.
Back so long, and we're always such a good thing when it's gone. Would it be alright if we just left our heads tonight? Take me away from this old game of saying we're both too much the same. Would it be alright if I just stayed with you tonight? And before I go, will I ever see you again? She said, love only knows. Love only knows if we'll give in to fear and choose life undercover. She said, love only knows if it's special enough, then we'll choose one another. We'll choose each other. Would it be alright if we if you let go, will you reach out again? She said, love only knows. Love only knows if we'll give in to fear and choose life undercover. She said, love only knows if it's special enough, then we'll choose one another. And I can't breathe without you, and I don't, and I can't live without love, and I won't, and I won't. She said, love only knows if it's special enough, then we'll choose one another. Oh, love only knows how your arms pull me in like the tide pulls me under. She said, love only knows just how long we can run before we lose each other. And I can't live without you, and I won't.
I love his voice. Well, let's see. I don't know what's I think that Larry D'Amino was on the run today, and he might be looking for a space, you know, that's quiet so he can call in, I have a feeling. Well, I'll tell you what, I guess I could try calling him. Let's see, okay. Let's do one more song. Let's do Brickman. Brickman's coming up. As a matter of fact, yeah, I got to get in touch with them because I have to. He's going to be in concert, Jim Brickman, here in New York City. I believe like next week. So, and I have a feeling this is one of the songs that's we're going to be hearing.
You'll still be beautiful.
We're going to get into our talk on shellfish, particularly on shrimp. Do I have you, Larry?
Yes, you do.
Okay. I almost called you.
Yeah, I thought you were going to call me, and after 15 minutes, I'm like, maybe she wants me to call her.
No, that's
but anyway,
why I gave
here
you
I am.
Calling number. Okay. So, the shrimpologist. First, introduce yourself to my audience.
My name is Larry Domino. I'm a local Brooklyn boy living in the area all my life, and I own a company called Sea Touch LLC.
Okay. So what is it about the shrimp that makes your place special?
Well, it's not so much my place, but it's an item that I just introduced into the marketplace. It's currently in a couple of stores, one of them being Fairway in Manhattan and another one being Restaurant Depot. There's another Spanish or Portuguese retailer in New Jersey called Ace Yabra that's also carrying it. Anyway, what makes my product different is just the natural approach to producing and packing it. There are no chemicals, no preservatives, just water and shrimp. The taste is fantastic.
Why is there chemicals and preservatives in other
shrimp?
When
you shop in a retail store, chances are you're buying 2-pound or 1-pound bagged shrimp, either raw or cooked. And in order for them to stay fresh in that IQF or individually quick frozen form, they need to add preservatives to prevent it from dehydration. And my product has no chemicals whatsoever. There's a chemical called tripolyphosphate, which they use to keep the moisture level up in the shrimp. We don't use any of that. We don't use any sulfates. It's just basically shrimp and water.
Well, when you say to, is it like, compared to, like, I guess, when they put air in ice cream? Is that what you mean?
That would be a very good analogy. One of the reasons why they use tripolyphosphate, other than the main reason, which is to prevent dehydration, is the fact that it retains moisture. And during the processing, you can actually gain a little bit of weight by using it. So what happens is sometimes some of the packers, in an effort to reduce costs, will use an excessive amount, and it taints the flavor and the texture and, the quality in cooking. We went in the opposite direction. I mean, we're basically using shrimp and water. We pack it in a brick of ice, and there are no chemicals, no preservatives, nothing added. When you cook our shrimp, not only will the yield be a little bit better, but the taste is just absolutely magnificent.
So I would, like, if I do, I can do a comparison and get a taste difference. But I'm guessing that, or let me ask, if I'm doing a comparison, I would also have to get, like, something comparable, meaning where it comes from as well?
Well, if you pick up a bag of shrimp off of your retail stand, and any of the major retailers, if you pick up a bag of their shrimp and bring it home, and bring home a box of Sea Touch Natural Shrimp, and you prepare them the same way side by side, you will find that the natural shrimp has a much better texture. It's more crunchy. It cooks better. A lot of times when they put the chemicals on it, by preventing the water from, the shrimp from dehydrating, it also prevents the shrimp from cooking properly. So you cook the shrimp more than you should, requires more cooking to prepare the meal. And the shrimp is, the quality and the taste and the texture is diminished in the process.
Does it matter where it comes from? Like the origin?
The main areas that produce shrimp would be Thailand, India, and Ecuador. Those are the main countries. A lot of people love wild shrimp, and by all means, wild shrimp is a great product, but it's limited, just like any other natural resource. And if it wasn't for farm-raised shrimp, we would not have enough product in the world to feed the population. So a lot of people, they look at farm-raised shrimp in a negative manner, but in actuality, it's growing an animal in a controlled environment. They know what they're feeding them. They know that they're eating a healthy diet. And just prior to them harvesting the crop, they starved them for a couple of days, which means that there's less poop inside when you go to clean it.
Yeah.
For lack of another word. Because when you eat a wild shrimp, there's a lot of it. You never know when the shrimp ate last, just before it got caught, and it might have just had a big meal and it's loaded up. But, those are some of the things that you're able to control in a sustainable manner in a farm-raised shrimp.
It's interesting because I had gone to an oyster farm up in Cape Cod. And while I was out there, we opened up, cracked open oysters and went crazy because they were really, really good. It was like the best damn oysters I ever had.
Sure, they were probably still in the ocean the day before. It's about as fresh as you can get.
They were just like right there in the beds of the, taking them and, opening and just enjoying. And it was like, wow, sometimes that could, make a difference. I guess, where it is, the water and so on and so forth, of course, make a difference.
Most
but
seafood
that was
has an amazing flavor on its own without anything added to it. If it's fresh out of the ocean, chances are it's got an amazing natural flavor all its own, without any chemicals, without any additives, without any kind of breadcrumb or frying or anything else. I mean, seafood's just a delicate item, and it's got an amazing flavor.
Now, when did you get into doing this, by the way? What made you decide on shrimp?
I'm a third-generation seafood person. My grandfather owned a fish store in Bedford-Stuyvesant in the 60s, and I've been in seafood for pretty much most of my life. I opened up Sea Touch LLC in New Jersey about six, seven years ago, and I've been looking to differentiate myself from everybody else out there trying to sell shrimp. And I've found over the years that when you eat shrimp that's just natural right out of the water, it has a much, much better flavor profile, and it cooks up a lot better. So my goal was to produce a product as natural as I could possibly do it.
Wow. I'm looking forward to tasting it. Now, you really can't know, but it's like, I know that, for instance, and just to, like, give you an idea, like, if I go to Stop and Shop, and then I, because I prefer, the problem is when you get it thawed out. You can't refreeze it.
Well,
I mean, you could,
that's another
you could
thing
cook
that we
it.
Tackled with the snap pack. We produce
right.
A,
I mean, with
well, I
no, I'm saying,
a 2-pound
I'm saying,
snap pack, which allows you to use only 1 pound in
right,
case you don't need the whole thing.
Right. No, I'm saying that when you go to the seafood counter and you get you know a pound of shrimp, you can't freeze it. Because it's already
no,
been...
No, because out of 10 times, those are previously frozen. It's
right.
It's very difficult to get shrimp here fast enough. You know, if you catch it fresh, you really need to freeze it right away because after a while, it'll start getting, you know, black around the flippers and other things will happen. You know, that's
right.
Because of no chemicals on them. So what most people do, what most retailers do, is they buy previously frozen product and they turn around and they throw it out and put it on the stand, which is fine. There's not a problem with that. It's probably fresher than if they brought it by, you know, truck here from the Gulf.
Right.
It would definitely be much better.
But what we don't know, I guess, is... Now, is whether there were chemicals in that.
Yes, you don't. And that's a little bit difficult to determine unless you're there physically looking at it. I mean, I have a trained eye, so I can kind of tell what's, you know, what's been soaked and what's natural. I would have to say if you see anything that's advertised as wild American, chances are it's probably just got bisulfites on it to prevent the black flippers, but other than that, it should be natural. But you really don't know. That's why, like with my brand, with my product, you know for sure that there's no chemicals, no preservatives, no additives. The product's low in fat, gluten free. It's a natural product, and you're assured that. As far as storing it out, I know people like the convenience of buying it off the stand, but it's a pretty simple procedure. You put the block in the sink in a colander and just run cold water on it, and, you know, within an hour's time, it's thawed out and it's ready to go. And it's going to be, you know, much fresher than something sitting around on a stand all day.
Right. Or you could always opt for cooking up a bunch of shrimp and just... I don't know if you ever did this, if you could do this, like cooking up a bunch of shrimp and then freezing it so you could have it when you want it.
Nah,
you know?
I wouldn't suggest that. I really wouldn't suggest that. You know, it's a delicate item and it's such a tasty, delicious item. Why destroy it? Just eat it in
right.
its most natural form. Cook it and eat it right away and enjoy it.
Okay, so then when you're buying shrimp that's like thawed out already. You should, like, decide on how many days, like, how many days can you keep it, by the way? Would you know? Refrigerated.
Well, from the point that it's thawed out, I mean, you know, 48 hours. I mean, it's still edible after that. But, it again, you know, shrimp is like a human being. It's, you know, 90-something percent water. So if you leave it in the refrigerator, it's going to slowly dehydrate. So the faster you eat it, the better you are.
Oh, okay. I'll have to remember that. So in other words, if you're going to buy shrimp that's not in a bag, frozen in a bag, consider that you should be eating it soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, any kind of shrimp that you get, you should, you know, once it's thawed out, you should prepare it and eat it.
Okay, so it's like going to Italy where you went and you bought what you needed for the day.
There you go. You got it the freshest.
You think of it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, you know, and
yeah.
the block of shrimp that you don't eat today, you could pretty much keep a frozen block of shrimp in the freezer for a year, and, like, as long as you don't take it out and throw it out, it really doesn't degrade at all. It's fine. So, I mean, if somebody has a block of shrimp that's been sitting in their freezer and it's there for a little while, you know, chances are it's still okay. When it comes to the bags, though, that's when you end up with the dehydration and stuff like that, you know. So, hence, that's another reason why I decided to go with a frozen brick as opposed to a IQF bag.
Oh, okay. So, in other words, make sure you read the label.
Oh, absolutely. My suggestion to anybody listening out there when it comes to seafood, ask questions. If you don't know and you're not sure, ask a question. If you want to know whether it's wild or farm, ask a question. Read the labels and be one of those shoppers that's a smart shopper. And your taste buds will be much happier for it.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely we will do a taste test on this. I'll email you, and we'll do a taste test.
Me your address, and I'll send you over some shrimp, and I'd be happy to come back on the show down the road.
We'll do this.
Some folks in and do the taste testing on their own.
This actually came about because Fairway Market had packaged in a bag their own. Under their name.
Right. Fairway is in the process of doing their own private label. Chem-free shrimp, as we refer to it.
Right.
And, their product wasn't quite ready when I first introduced the Sea Touch Natural Shrimp. So they decided that they were going to bring it in and give it a shot. And they were one of the first retailers that actually took the product in.
I'm just curious, and I'm not sure where the origin of their shrimp is. Would I even taste a difference, let's say, if I bought comparable, meaning like theirs and yours, chemicals? Would I taste the difference
didn't have chemicals, then you're going to have a natural shrimp flavor.
No, my question is, would I taste a difference if the origin is different?
Most farm-raised shrimp, the species that they use to grow them is called Peneus vaname, and that's a Pacific white shrimp, and that's the larva that they use to grow out the crops in Ecuador, most of South Central America, Thailand, India, Vietnam, and China, which are the main producing countries. The United States also has one farm down in Texas that does a very, very nice job growing shrimp. It's just limited quantities. That's the only problem. But they all use the same species of shrimp. And from one to the other, you probably really, unless you're really good at it, you probably couldn't taste the difference because it is the same animal. It's just grown in a different country.
Right. And I guess the best way, if you're going to taste it, is to make a shrimp cocktail. In other words,
and its most natural form, clean them as you'd like. Some people like to leave the tail on. Some people like to leave the tail off. Some people cook them in the shell. But however you like to cook them, just bring the water up to boil, a nice full boil. And what I try to do is I throw like a lemon or a lime in there, and it just gives it a little, nice flavor to it. I put the shrimp in for 2 minutes. As soon as 2 minutes is up, I pull them out, put them in a colander, and I rinse some cold water on them on top of them right away. And that's how you're really going to get the most natural flavor out of the shrimp. And trust me, if you take some of this soak product that you're buying in the retailer and you take the Sea Touch Natural Shrimp and you do that side by side, you're really going to see the difference. Our catchphrase is shrimp the way it's supposed to taste.
I like to steam them in beer.
That's a good way too.
Yeah, I find it gives a little extra, I guess if you want to call it a sweet flavor, a little extra flavor, and takes out the fishy thing. But this might be because of not the perfect shrimp that I like, that for the reason that I'm doing that.
Most farm-raised shrimp really will not have a fishy aroma or a fishy flavor. It's a very delicate flavor. It's not. It should not be fishy. It should not be water. Obviously it's going to smell like shrimp, but it's not going to be a strong smell. Times where you may get that very strong taste is with wild shrimp. Wild shrimp's coming from various parts of the country, and you don't know what they're eating and whatnot. So you might have a more robust flavor in a wild-caught shrimp as opposed to a farm-raised shrimp. Doesn't mean one's better than the other. It's just a little bit different.
Oh, okay. So, well, this should be quite interesting to do this. Now, am I assuming or not assuming, in terms of price-wise, should one expect to pay more?
Well, I mean, from a consumer perspective, it may cost them, for a two-pound bag, it may cost them $1 a bag more. I mean, in the whole scheme of things, it's not a big, big jump in price. And when you figure out what you're getting out of it, it's worth $1 more.
Okay.
There's also another store out in Long Island that's also carrying, while I got you on the phone,
sure.
There's a company out there called Claws in West Fayetteville, small fish store and prepared seafood. Very
mm-hmm.
nice place, and they've been selling the snap pack since the Sea Touch snap pack since day one. So if any of you guys are out in Long Island, that's another place to go and try them out.
Okay, but and in terms of because this is internet, I guess can you get this outside of New York as well?
We're planning on rolling the product out nationwide. We just did our first initial rollout about 3 months ago. We're getting nice response for the product. If people are aware that there's a little bit of a shrimp shortage going on that we're getting over. So that kind of it slowed us down a little bit. But coming into the new year, when things start to stabilize, you're going to start to see the product in more and more stores. And if you don't see it, just ask for it.
Okay, so it's not this is not like I can go online and order it and you're going to send it.
No, we don't have an online presence right now. Maybe that's something I should consider, but I figured the best way to do it is to get it out there into the major retailers and let them do their job.
Oh, okay. That sounds really good. Did I cover everything? Or is anything you'd like to add?
I think so. I think the next thing to do is for me to get you some product and have you folks do a taste test. I mean,
yes,
I could preach all day long. It doesn't mean anything until you taste it.
Now, in terms of, do you have different sizes?
Yes, we have most of the main sizes that you would see in the retail segment, 16 to 20 count, down through a 50 to 60, which would be a smaller size. That's per pound, 16 to 20 per pound, 50 to 60 per pound, and all sizes in between. So if you go into the retails, you'll see that there's different sizes for different price points. Basically, whether you're buying a big jumbo shrimp or you're buying a medium-sized shrimp, the meat is still going to taste the same. You're just going to pay less for a small shrimp.
Oh, okay. I guess you're paying less because you're, because in terms of...
Well, it takes...
From
the manufacturer's point of view, it takes longer to grow a larger shrimp. And it's more expensive.
They have to
continue to feed the shrimp while it grows. So a larger size count will cost them more money to produce than a smaller size count.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah,
I always
it's roughly
about
90 days or so to grow out a shrimp 20 headless count. And they have to feed them for all of that time. So if they're growing them out to a bigger size, they have to continue to feed them.
Got it. Didn't think of it that way. I always think of it in terms of how much shell you need to deal with.
Well, shell is kind of not really an issue. Think about it. If you were raising chickens or cattle or pigs, if you want a big chicken, a really big chicken, you got to feed them a lot.
This is true.
Same goes for shrimp.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I have rubber chickens here in the house, and they don't.
You make rubber chicken soup?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of them wants to say hello to you. That was Esther. She wants. She's interested in checking out the. I got them from the rubber chicken farm in California.
I wonder what they feed rubber chickens.
I don't know. I'm going to assume they feed them wine because it's a winery that that has this, the rubber chicken farm. It's a rubber chicken forest. That's what it is.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, at a winery out in California. So now,
I'm definitely looking forward to getting you some product and having you taste it.
Yes,
and
this would
I'd
be
happy
really
to come back on the show. You know, after you try it out, I'd be happy to come back and chat with you folks. And if anybody wants to, you know, ask any questions, I'd be happy to answer them as well.
Thank you so much for call. Actually, I was going to call. I see the number you called in on. I was going to call the number I originally called you.
That's okay. I just called you from my cell phone. And if you want to call the other one, it jumps to it. So no big deal.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you very much. And I hope that, you know, I educated a few people as far as shrimp. And, you know, maybe next time I come on, if you want to do a little question and answer, I'd be happy to participate.
Oh, yeah. Well, because I'll, I have an article to write. And so I'm going to, when I do this, I'm going to include you in on the article because part of it, as I said, this was introduced to me in terms of hearing about it a fair way. So I was thinking, well, does anybody else do this? And then I went online. I saw that you do it. So, you know, I said, okay.
Yeah, the website's got some information on it. We're still building it out. I mean, everything that we're doing right now is all kind of like happening for the first time. Like the company's been around for a while, but the product's only really been around for the last few months. And if anybody's interested in checking it out, it's SeaTouchSeafood.com, SeaTouch Seafood.com.
Okay. You got it. All right. Thanks
It's been my pleasure. And I'm looking forward to coming back and chatting with you again.
Oh, yeah. Great. Okay. Talk to you soon. Meantime, I'm going to...
All right, honey. Bye-bye.
I'm going to send out an email.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so I guess maybe what I'm going to wind up having is chocolate-covered shrimp. No, that ain't going to work. Okay, well, I'm going to end early then. Because now it's made me hungry. So until next time. Everybody, have a great day, evening, or however you're listening to this. And who knows what I'll do next.